Your Bibles tonight and turn to Nehemiah chapter number 13. Nehemiah chapter number 13 tonight. We've been looking through the book of Nehemiah at things that the leaders, we kind of talked about leaders, but really everybody. Everybody ought to desire to be a leader. And that may not mean you'll be the preacher, but you're going to take a role. You're going to step up and do some things from the Lord. So we're going to look at another one tonight. The Bible never ceases to amaze me. This is at least my third time of preaching. One time I went kind of verse by verse through Nehemiah. One time I went through Nehemiah from a separation standpoint. A lot of truths of separation in there. And this time I've been going looking for traits of leaders and stuff. But I never saw this tonight in the book of Nehemiah. First time I had really recognized it. And it just amazes me how there are certain truths that have come all the way through the Bible and is irrelevant today as it was back then. I watched something recently. I was watching a man who was supposed to be teaching on bullying, and he just butchered the Bible, in high school, dealing with the thing, and called it a stupid book and a piece of trash. And he was teaching on bullying, and he ended up bullying people who believed the Bible. But I tell you what thrilled my heart. It thrilled my heart to see some young people who stood up and walked out of that auditorium. And he got done bullying the Bible. He said, "You can tell those people out in the hallways they can come back in. I'm through beating up on the Bible." And they didn't come back in, praise God. I wouldn't have come back in. And he said he had every right to do it. And sadly, he just takes things, you know, he takes some truth and mixes it with a lot of error. The Bible is a wonderful book. So look at what the Bible says in Nehemiah. We'll just start out with two verses. Put your marker there because we're going to go away and come back to Nehemiah chapter number 13. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 11. "Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. Then brought all Judah, the tithe of the corn and the new wine and the oil, unto the treasures." My question for you tonight, Nehemiah asked it. He contended with the rulers and he said this: why is the house of God forsaken? Why is the house of God forsaken? Can I tell you, throughout history, it has been commonplace for God's people to forsake the house of God. Because in their lives, there's other things that become more important than the house of God. Now, I believe everyone ought to make the house of God a priority in their lives. But let me tell you, if you're here tonight and you want to be a Christian, now remember, there's a difference in a believer and a Christian. There are some people who have been saved and they never will become a Christian, because a Christian is a person who is trying to be Christ-like. If you study the difference in believers and Christians, it will be an amazing thing. But all the way back here in Nehemiah, the question is asked: why is the house of God forsaken? Now, I know there was some differences in the house of God back in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. In a little while, we're going to look. I'm going to prove to you tonight, before it's over with, I hope you understand that, tonight the church is called the house of God. Back in the Old Testament day, there was the temple and where they did the sacrifices and stuff. But we also know there were places where they gathered together for the preaching of the Word of God. And they would preach from in the morning till noontime. And they didn't have comfortable seats to sit in either. The Bible says they stood as the Word of God was read. And then the priest, Ezra, gave them understanding of what those words was. That was the preaching of the Word of God. Now, in the Old Testament days, they did meet on the Sabbath. They did not meet on the first day of the week, what we call Sunday. The Sabbath was the last day of the week. And we understand that God, when He created the earth and He rested on the seventh day, it was not a rest because He was tired. It was a rest of completion. And He did rest on that day. But then He gave commandment to the nation of Israel that the Sabbath was going to be a different kind of day. The Sabbath was not just an ordinary day. Now, people say, well, we're supposed to give every day to God. Yes, that is true. Every day should be given to God. But there's one, He says, I want to be especially given to me. Given to me in a way that none of the other days are given to me. If you would, look at what the Bible says in verse number 15. Here's what the Bible says. If you have your Bibles, look there. In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves and lading asses, also as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they had brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in that day, wherein they sold the victuals. So they had made the Sabbath day another day just to get gain and to make money and to all of those things. Now, the Bible does teach there are reasons that you work on God's day. In the Old Testament, God said if your neighbor's oxen fall in the ditch, then you could help get his oxen out of the ditch. There are some priorities that come up and have to be taken care of. There are some career fields where people do have to work maybe on the Sabbath day. I think that it's a good thing. How many are glad the military is on duty on the Sabbath day? How many are glad that cops are working on the Sabbath day? How many, if you ever get sick, you hope the doctor's working on the Sabbath? And there are things like that. But what we do is we make it to where we can almost do it at any time. Turn with me, if you would, back to Exodus chapter number 20 this evening. Exodus chapter number 20. Remember to hold your place in Nehemiah. We're going to go back there in a little while. Exodus chapter number 20. And let's notice, now the law was given to the nation of Israel, and I don't have time tonight to prove to you, but the Sabbath was given to the nation of Israel. And notice what the Bible says in Exodus chapter number 20 and in verse number 8. 8 through 11 is dealing in the Ten Commandments with the Sabbath. He says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant nor thy cattle nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. God said on that day, I want that day to be different. I don't want you to work. I don't want your children to work. Now we've already realized there are exceptions to things. The problem is everybody comes up with crazy exceptions to them. I have to be careful with saying things because sometimes I don't remember who told me, but I've heard the craziest reasons why people felt like it was okay for them to do what they were going to do on that day. But listen, God wasn't just concerned about individuals. He's told the families, I want your families, your sons and your daughters and your men servants and your maid servants. He went as far as to say, don't even hook up your cattle. Don't be out for all those things that he said to do, because God was interested, the feeling God had about the Sabbath. Now, the early church referred to Sunday, guess what they referred it to? But they also referred it to the Christian Sabbath. Do you know Brother Benny, Sundays have changed since you were a kid, weren't they? Man, even the heathen did things different on Sunday. And you know, now some of our young people today have been brought up, and most of what they've seen, they have seen that the Sabbath is just another day. It's just something that, you know, you do whatever it is you want to do and things, but that was never the way that God intended it. Now, I understand that we are not under the law today, but do you really expect me to believe that God expects less of us in the new covenant? Do you know there's never a place in the Bible where God expects less of us? God talked about tithing in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, he wants you to give above the tithe. There's not a doubt in the world about that. He wants you to give offerings and things like that, you know. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 7, that Christ did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And so we come together. This is the day. I know I've shared it with you in the past, but my favorite story on the Sabbath was about Laura Ingalls Wilder's her boyfriend called Amonzo. He was Amonzo Wilder, and he was brought up. And I read Farmer Boy as a young boy growing up, and it's written really not on a very old, very age. I mean, it's written pretty simple, but the Christmas came on Sunday one year. And they got up for Christmas, and the boys got a sled. And there's snow outside. Now, if boys get a sled and there's a snow outside, what do they want to do? But they couldn't go sledding. Why? It was Sunday. They wouldn't let them go sledding. And so they had gone to church. They had their presents. And guess what all them boys wanted to do was? All them boys wanted to do was sled. Finally, all of the adults had a big dinner for Christmas. And what happens after you have a big dinner? They all got in there and they took a nap. And them boys got together and said, let's just go out and we'll ride it down the hill one time. That's what they thought. And they took the sled up the hill and they all got on it. Was just going to ride it one time. Coming down the hill, one of the pigs had gotten out. And they come down that hill and the pig was right in their path. And they picked that pig up coming down. Anybody care to guess what that pig did?
What?
He started squealing and hollering and carrying on and everything. And the next thing they know, the door opened and Daddy was looking out the door to find out what the commotion was. Uh-oh's right. Because you just didn't do that in that day. And those old boys tromped in that house. And they didn't even get the spanking that day. Their daddy wouldn't even spank them on the Sabbath day. They had to wait until the next day to get their spanking for breaking what the day of the Lord. You think they wished they'd have waited until tomorrow?
Yeah.
Believe they might have. But it's a different day that we live in today. But Jesus didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill it. I don't believe that God expects less of us. I don't believe that God is okay with us just living our Sundays however we want to. I believe that day is dedicated to the Lord. It is the first day of the week. And we'll look at a couple of verses in that a minute. Jack Treber said he had this written in one of his Bibles. I was reading something this week about Jack Treber. And he said this, Sunday is a holy day, not a holiday. Sunday is not a leisure day. It's not a travel day or a day to run errands that could be done during the week. It is a sacred day and we must treat it as such. And today, I think we take the Lord's Day and we make it just another day of the week. And a lot of times we'll give the Lord in the morning, we'll give the Lord in the evening. Now I want to show you a couple of verses that we don't worship on the Sabbath because a lot of people think we do. Turn with me if you would to the book of Acts chapter number 20. The book of Acts chapter number 20 tonight. I want to read a couple of verses to you because I want you to know we do not meet on the Sabbath today. We don't do that. We meet on the Lord's Day. We meet on the first day of the week. The Bible says in Acts chapter number 20, and in verse number 6, the Apostle Paul was talking there, and he was on his missionary journey. And the Bible says, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, in verse number 6, and came unto them in Troas in 5 days. So it took them 5 days to get there, and we abode. How many days did they abode?
7 days.
What is 7 days? It is a week. You get every day in there, but notice what he said, and upon the, what day? First day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart in the morning, continue to speak until midnight. I'm going to midnight tonight, folks. It's biblical. I'm not going to midnight, but what day of the week did they meet on? They met on Sunday. They did not meet on the Sabbath. And I believe God had a purpose for it because I believe God is also practical. And when Paul would go to a town, he would go deal with the Jews on Saturday. On the Sabbath day, he would go to the synagogue and deal with the Jews. And then on Sunday, he would meet with the church and stuff. So turn to another place, 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. And this is just a couple of verses. I have preached messages on the whole messages on the subject today of why we don't meet on the Sabbath, why we meet on the first day of the week. But I do believe there's a principle given about the Sabbath. And I do believe that God is very interested on how we act on the Lord's Day. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 says this, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. So they're taking up collections. We call it an offering. And notice when they take up the collection, upon the what day of the week? So do you, what? Whoops, that's right. You're normally right. You're wrong today. You're buzzer on it, Wesley. You're wrong tonight. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in store as God has proffered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So the offering is on the first day of the week. You say, well, we took up one tonight. Yes, we did for our missionaries, and there's nothing that says we can't take up more than one, but look at when it says it was on the first day of the week. Do you really think they met on Saturdays for the preaching and then came back on the first day of the week to take up the offering? No, they met on the first day of the week, and it is the Lord's Day. Many of us in the room today remember when things used to be closed on Sunday. It was really a nice time. Family spent more time together. I can remember when nothing was open except there was a few gas stations open, and they did that for people that are traveling. I don't think God had any problem with that because some people had to travel maybe on that day. And if you travel, guess what you need? You need gas. You do have to have that. But I can remember when all the department stores were closed. And you know what, Benny, we made it pretty fine, didn't we? I can't think of any time that anybody died because they couldn't get to Walmart, you know. They couldn't get to IGA. Listen, there may have been something come up you would have liked to have had, but it was closed on those things. Does anybody remember how it happened that we started having everything open on Sundays? Department stores started opening from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. You know what? I bet you, wasn't in Bible preaching churches at that time, but I'll bet you there were some preachers that stomped and snorted and spit and stomped and said, if you give in on this, it won't be long and they'll be open all the day and the beer joints will be open and this will be open. And people thought, can you believe him? He is a lunatic. He has lost his mind. You say, why do you say that? Because I remember when they started playing baseball and softball on Wednesdays. And when it first started, it was just for we don't have any other time during the week. We're just going to start. And listen, I can remember as a preacher standing up going, if you let your kids go to the ball games on Wednesday for a makeup game or for a tournament, it won't be long and they'll be playing and practicing and all of those other things, and they'll be doing it on Wednesday. And people said, preacher, never happened, never happened, never happened. And now it's Wednesday's just another day. Matter of fact, if the schools are going to schedule something special, guess what night they're going to schedule it on?
Wednesday.
We're going to schedule it on Wednesday night. That's exactly right. Now they can't come because football practice is on Wednesday night. They have to have football practice for little kids on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You know, they have football practice all the time. And preachers stood up and preachers said it was going to happen. But the devil just takes a little bit at a time, doesn't he? Just a little bit of a time. You know, my wife, you very seldom, and really we would rather not, but occasionally, you know, because of circumstances, we'll eat out on Sunday. But my family hardly ever eats out on a Sunday. We try not to eat out on a Sunday because, listen, I've been in a service before, left a gospel track on Sunday, and the lady looked at it and said, if you folks would keep coming in the restaurant on Sunday, they'd close. If the church folks quit coming in the restaurant on Sunday, they'd close, because you find out who's in the restaurant on Sunday, and guess who just about everybody in there is? It's the church crowd. That's why the preacher has to be done at a certain time, because if you don't get done at a certain time, the lines will be so long, you know, at the restaurant. But listen, I don't want people to have to be working at a restaurant cooking food. My wife's got a crock pot, and she knows how to use that thing. And she'll load that thing up and cook stuff in that crock pot, so when we get home, we got a good hot meal, and praise God for that. But today, and it's funny. Now, today, the department stores are open. The grocery stores are open. All of the gas stations are open. All of the Dollar Generals are open. And guess what's happening?
What?
The churches are closing. The churches are closing. Every church used to be open multiple times a week, and every church would be there on Sunday morning. They would be there on Sunday night, and they would have a midweek service. Some people might do it on a Tuesday night or a Thursday night, and most of them did it on Wednesday night. And you know, the old church fathers knew that it was hard to make it from Sunday to Sunday, and so they added a part in there to where they could go and get spiritual refreshment from the Lord. They could come together and pray and ask God to do a great work, but now we see everything else is opening and the churches are closing. God help us. And somebody needs to stand up like Nehemiah did and ask the question, why is the Lord's house forsaken? You know why churches close the door on Sunday night and Wednesday night? Because the people voted to close the door on Sunday night and Wednesday night. You know how to vote on closing the door on Sunday night and Wednesday night? Just don't show up. Quit showing up, and you've got to vote. You know, we prayed for some people tonight that have voted to close the churches down in America. They wouldn't, if you ask them, do you know you voted? No, I haven't voted to do that. Yes, you have. You have voted with your life. You have said it's not important. It's not something that we need. And if you listen, they are forsaking the house of God. And I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but I want you to understand I'm preaching to encourage you. Look around. We've got a good crowd of people here tonight. Praise God for each and every one of you that are here. But let me ask you, are you going to be here next year? Are you going to be here the year after? Are you going to be here next week? What is it going to take to get you to forsake the house of God? I hope none of us will reach that point. Look at what the Bible says here. Look at who Nehemiah addressed. Let's turn back to Nehemiah chapter number 13, and let's look at who Nehemiah addressed with this issue. The whole context here is talking about the house of God and what they were doing. And notice what the Bible says here. In verse number 15, here's what he said about the peace. He said, and I saw in those days, saw I in Judah some. Who are the some, do you think? Some of the people of God. And notice what they were doing. He said they were treading the wine presses on the Sabbath. Now they weren't making alcoholic wine. They were squeezing the juice out of grapes. I'll just throw in a little statement here to you. It is very, very hard to make wine in a hot country, because if the wine gets too hot, it turns into vinegar. If it gets too cool, it will not ferment. That's why they have wine cellars. They have to keep wine at a very strict temperature in order for it to ferment just right and stuff. But he says they were then on the Sabbath day, and they were bringing in the sheaves. They were harvesting. They were loading up their asses and all of the burdens and all of the things that they were doing. You know what they were doing? They were just treating the Lord's day like it was any old day. God help us to not do that. I remember hearing the best message I ever heard on the Sabbath wasn't from a preacher, and it wasn't from a Sunday school teacher. When we were in Knoxville, Tennessee, and we had one vehicle, Deborah babysitted, I was going to school, and finances were tight, and we had one vehicle, and I would run a bus route into the North Knoxville area, and so Deborah would go home and get lunch ready and take the kids home, and we had Hannah at the time, but she would take her home and get her down for a nap and stuff, and I would get back, and I would look for a ride home. 2-3 miles at the most. 2 or 3 miles at the most. And, so many times I would ask people, can you give me a ride home? Because I didn't want Deborah to have to get out. Can you give me a ride? Man, I got turned down. I'm talking about at a church of over 1,000 people with a Bible college and all the things they had. But one day I was pretty discouraged, because many times I'd have to call Deborah and she'd have to get Hannah up and come get me. And there was a guy there by the name of Joe Carter, and I saw Joe, and I was discouraged because everybody had turned me down. And I said, Brother Joe, you wouldn't want to give me a ride home, would you? And he said, no, I wouldn't. I thought, well, I didn't think you would. And he said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to see if I can find a ride home or call my wife. He said, I didn't say I wouldn't give you a ride home. I said I didn't want to. Get in the car, I'm taking you home. I said, why would you do that? He said, because today is not my day. Today is the Lord's day. And there's a lot of times God asked me to, he said, you know what Joe wanted to do? He wasn't being mean. You know what Joe wanted to do? He was a bus driver on the bus. He wanted to go home and eat lunch and lay down and take a nap, because he'd put up with, 40 to 100 kids on a bus that day or whatever it was. And he just wanted to get back and do that. So the first people he addressed are the general people. And then notice what he said here. He said in verse number 17, then I contended with the nobles. You think the government cares if you work on Sunday or not? Man, they're not going to make it easy on you, are they? They're going to make it rough. Listen, I believe if the government could, they'd open on Sunday. They'd love for you to have things to do on Sunday and stuff. But you know what? You got to give old Nehemiah credit, man. He stood against the regular people and he stood against the nobles of the day. And then lastly, he went against the, look at who he went against in verse number, let's read about verse number 20. So the merchants and sellers of all kinds of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. He got it to where they weren't opening the gates. These people were coming into Jerusalem to sell their wares, and he got it to where they wouldn't, so they just came and set up right outside the walls. He said they came for 2 weeks, and then listen to what he said. Then I testified against them in verse number 21. Why lodge you against the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth, they came no more on the Sabbath. He said, if you don't quit putting this stuff outside of this, I'm going to lay my hands on you. Now, I guess we can't do that. But you know what? We don't have to support it, do we? We don't have to do. And seriously, how much more money do they make? It'd just be interesting to find out. I don't think they would lose a lot of money, because most of the time what people buy on Sunday, they just don't buy when they go back through the week. They've already got it, you know. But he talked against those people. Listen, you're going to have to decide. You're going to have to make a decision. Nobody else can make it for you. You're going to have to make a decision as how important is the house of God to you. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy tonight. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Let me tell you what Timothy, when he wrote to Paul, what he said about this matter. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 15. Look at what the Bible says. He's writing to Timothy, and he says these things in verse number 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, he said, I'm going to tell you why I'm writing this. Writing to a young pastor, and he says this, that if I tarry long, if I can't make it, I'm writing to you that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the what? House of God. What did Nehemiah say? Why have we forsaken the what? There was a house of God in the Old Testament, and there was a house of God in the New Testament. And what is the house of God? Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Wow. You know, I don't come to church if I'm contagious, but I've come to church not feeling good. You know why? I think it's where God wants me to be. Listen, I've woke up days and I've had events happen in my life. I can remember a time or two I was in church and I was as broken a person as you could be. And to be honest with you, my flesh didn't want to go within 100 miles of the church. But I knew where God wanted me. God didn't want me to forsake the house of God. God wanted me. Now look, I understand. I preach at the nursing homes and I understand, or the assisted living, and I understand some of those people can't get out, but they always amaze me. They can't get to church, but you let that bus roll out to go to Walmart. It's amazing how quick they can get on the bus to go to Walmart, or they'll go somewhere else and they'll have a get together, or they'll go over to the senior citizen center to play bingo, and man, they can make it to bingo and they can make it shopping and they can make it here, but preacher, I just can't get, no, here, why don't you be honest? Preacher, I just don't want to go. Can I tell you, I wasn't kidding. Sunday morning, y'all, it was a horrible, I mean, I thought our service was horrible, man. Thank you, Wesley, you're a blessing. Thank you for that. I mean, it was just, I'm like, good night, what? But the singing was kind of a whole day. But you know what? I'm glad I was here. Why? Because this is where God wanted me. You know, a lot of people don't come because, well, 1 week, sometimes it's exciting and sometimes it's boring. My wife and I will tell you that for 2 years we attended one of the most boring churches I've ever been in my life. I loved our pastor, and you say, what was his message like? I never knew what he had said. It didn't follow a stream. I mean, I would be like, what did he say? You know, but you know what we did? We went Sunday morning, we went Sunday night, we went Wednesday night, because we felt like that was the church that God wanted us to be in. Praise the Lord. Heaven help us. Now you go to churches and you wonder why the Spirit of God isn't there when people are on their phones the whole time through church. You know, won't raise their head one time. Won't nod, won't say amen, won't say nothing. They're on their phones and looking down at that. Well, I got my Bible on the phone. You don't look at your Bible that hard any other time. You can tell the rest of the world that, but don't tell me that. Heaven help us. I am here to hear the preaching of the Word of God and to hear what God has to say to me. Why has my people forsaken the Word of God? The Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 16, 18, upon this rock I will build my church. You know, we call it our church, don't we? I'd like to invite you to my church. It's my church, but it's God's church. Listen, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the foundation of the church, and no foundation can other men go. Can I tell you, though, there's other organizations that if you are not careful that will take place of the local church. In some people today, in some people's lives today, the public school is taking the place. It's the most important place in the world. Some people, it's their job. Some people, listen, it can even be the Christian school can take the place of it. But God ordained the local church. He didn't ordain the public school. He didn't ordain the Christian school. I'm not against Christian school. My kids have gone to Christian school before and stuff. But can I tell you, if on Wednesday night I have to pick between school and church, I'll tell you where my kids are going to be. They're going to be in church. And it's that way with everything, because I don't want to be one of those when it says, why is the house of God forsaken? I don't want for it to be me. Brother Decker was talking last night about God knows where you are and He knows why you're there. Listen, I just want to stand for God. So as we talk about it, let's not forget about the Lord and His church. Let's remember Him in the good times. You know, the good times when things are going well. Remember the Lord. Let's remember Him in the bad times. And as we get together, let us not forsake the house of God. Because whose house is it? It's God's house. You know, and let's treat a little bit differently. One of my sons was telling me about some friends of ours and said they thought about coming to your church one time, but their dad didn't want to come because he wanted to work with adults and he wouldn't wear a tie. So you're going to choose another church because you might have to wear a tie. And I don't preach on, y'all ever heard me preach on ties? You know, matter of fact, I don't even know if the Sunday schools all, teachers all wear ties or not. You know, I do, because this is the way a preacher looked to me growing up. Can I tell you, some of these preachers today, I can't tell the difference in them and anybody else. You know, I want people to know there's a difference. It's funny, people always, well, if I didn't have to do anything on the outside, I'd be more faithful to church. Well, if it means that much to you, then you know what I tell you? Just don't come. You're not going to do much for God, are you? You know, it just amazes me at what people say. But all the way back in the days of Nehemiah, and all the way back, God's people have always had that problem. Nehemiah stands up and boldly asks the question, why is the house of God forsaken? You know, we are a blessed church in many ways. We don't have a lot of money. We don't have the fanciest buildings. But I know churches that run several hundred on Sunday morning don't have as many in church on Wednesday night as we do. You know, thank you for being people who love the house of God. And always guard yourself. Guard yourself that you don't get to the place to where you're willing to forsake the house of God. Would you stand tonight with your heads bowed and your eyes closed?